being in the zone. It's called being lucky. It's called having everything go your way.
Broadcasting worldwide from an undisclosed location high up on the Rocky Mountains, here are your hosts, Chris and Cherie Geo.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of The Chris Geo Show. We are live this Sunday, and so let me get this straight. We have a president, John F. Kennedy, who was for the people. He was going back to the gold and silver standard. He was threatening a lot of people's positions. He was dismantling the CIA. He was doing everything that we've been calling for, that we've united for. And he was assassinated by some lone nut. Just one of the people, for no reason. On the other hand, you have a president, President Obama, who has worked with the corporate swine and banking cartels hand in hand, or face to rear, however you want to look at it. And he's done everything to push forward their agenda, to bring us into more debt, to get more money from the Federal Reserve, raising interest rates. I mean, you name it, he's done it all, pushing for the banker bailout, causing the housing bubble. I mean, going back to 2005, 2006, when a lot of people didn't even know who he was, yet he was standing on the front lines of that whole deal. And these lone nuts go out and they shoot airports and elementary schools and movie theaters, but nobody takes a shot at the president. Gee, I wonder how that works. Can you explain that, Ole?
I can. It's very important to see, at least in my humble opinion, I've spent 30 years looking very, very deeply into this. And as far as I can see, President Kennedy was the last real elected president. All the rest of the presidents since that day has been just a different face in front of this, the same war machine that has just been pushing forward. It's the same power elite that took Kennedy out that is still in power. And this is why nothing changes after every new election. And you think, oh, this president is going to be better. This is going to be better now. They say a lot of sweet words, but the reality is the same. It just gets worse and worse and worse. And the reason is because it's the same power machine behind the whole thing that is just pushing forward their very, very ruthless agenda. And Obama is just the last sort of front figure in a long row that has been going on all the way since the early 60s.
Exactly. It seems like if you're a president for the people, then the lone nut comes after you. But if you're a president for the tyranny, then the lone nuts go after the people that benefits the tyranny.
Yeah, it's like they have nothing really to fear because in my research, I've never been able to find a real terrorist. Every single time I look into a so-called terror act, it goes back slowly, when you track it down, proof by proof, it gets back to the same, it points to the same group of people using the same mechanics again and again. If they're not trained, they're funded, they're equipped by the same power elite, through the FBI, if it's in the States, through the FBI or CIA, NSA. These are the people that are creating these things. And the reason why they're creating it, if you want to, I can go into some details, it's almost like templates, how they do these things, because once you become aware of it, then it's so much easier to, the next time it happens, that you will just say, whoa, wait a second, I'm not buying this, not again.
Absolutely.
Because they just do it on a very, it's like really sloppy nowadays, very, very low budget, no planning, no nothing. So the sooner we become aware of why they're doing it and how they're doing it, the easier it is for us to wake up and stop this, because it's only by us being asleep that they can carry on.
Well, I think it just goes to show that how they view the sheeple of America. And that is as dumb as doornails. I mean, if you're going to have an operation like the Los Angeles shooting or like Sandy Hoax, for instance, and you're going to make so many mistakes and still push that story and not even address those mistakes or even try to come up with a cover story for those mistakes and just believe that the people are just too stupid and that they will fall for it. I think it goes to show. But it's absurd. It really is. But please, let's detail the blueprint for these false flags. And I mean, we can even take it back to Abraham Lincoln as well. Lincoln was assassinated at a time when he turned down the central banking system. A lot of people don't know that. They think he was assassinated because he wanted to end slavery. He wasn't really about ending slavery. That just happened to be drawn into the whole situation. But what it really came down to is that he was opposing the central bank. And the central banking system finally reared its ugly head back in 1913, and we've been under its tyranny since. But please take us away on the blueprint.
No, what you're saying is absolutely correct. And you can see this central bank is very central in many of these conspiracies globally that are being carried out by the same group. That is why they took out Gaddafi. That is why they're really trying to get Iran. That is why they're aiming for North Korea. And so these are the final countries where they still have an independent central bank and not a Rothschild-owned bank. And this is what they're really trying to take over, because once they can control all of the banks, they are in a much, much stronger power position globally. So the central bank is, like I say, very central in all of this. But when it comes to these blueprints, what the way they do it is they use an old Roman tactic called problem, reaction, solution. And I don't know if I explained this last time, but is it okay if I go into some details?
Yeah, absolutely. For the listeners that aren't familiar, I'm pretty sure most of our listeners are familiar, but please go ahead.
Okay, it's called problem, reaction, solution. And that is, if you look at history and you see like a country like Chile, for instance, where they had a president called Salvador Allende. He was loved by the people, absolutely loved. And he was standing up for the people and saying, listen, we're going to share the wealth of this country. We're going to give it back all the country, everything will be given back to the population so that they can benefit from their own country. And so what he did was he was saying no to foreign investors, and he was throwing out companies and so on, which really pissed off the same global elite again, the same scenario. So they decided to take him out, supported by the USA. There was a military coup done. And when you do a military coup, if you study history, it's very efficient to start with. They go in with military force. They kill whoever is in the power position. And they kill presidents and parliament members and so on, so on. So very quickly they get into the position they want. But from that day, they have a hell of a mess to take care of, because not only do you have problems with demonstrations and uprisings, but also guerrilla movements. And then you start filling the jails with all these people that are free thinkers or truth seekers or just people who want their freedom. So you have to fill up the prisons with them. And then maybe if it gets too much, you start executing them. But everyone you execute will have families and friends and brothers and sisters who will get very, very upset with you. So they will become your enemy. So then you have to take care of those. You have to fill the jails again. You even have to like use football stadiums.
Definitely. Ole, I'm sorry, but we have a break creeping up. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Don't go anywhere.
The last fire will.
My name is...
Let's keep it going through the break, but I don't want you to pick up on that until we get back for the GCN audience. But I just want to say for the listeners, this is on a completely different gear here, but I went and got a steak from the grocery store, and it was the worst steak that I've ever had in my life. And I've cut back significantly on the meat. I mean, you know, big time, because I've noticed the quality has deteriorated so much. And there's this restaurant that flies in their meat from Brazil, and I was able to go eat there. Somebody else was buying, you know, so I don't have the money to go over there and eat there on a regular basis, because it's a very expensive restaurant. But they fly the meat in from Brazil. And I noticed when I ate there, I came back and I felt good. I felt energized. I felt, you know, really good. I eat this meat and I cook it, and I noticed that it's way tough. It was a ribeye too, so it wasn't like, you know, a bad cut of meat or something like that. It's supposed to be a good cut of meat. And about halfway through it, I just start picking it apart, and I notice this just globs of fat and globs of just, I mean, just the stuff. And I'm looking at it and going, oh my God, this is horrible. And it's all it's from them feeding the cows candy, and it's caramelized fat and all of this that's just inside of the meat. And I noticed this the last couple of times I've bought meat from the grocery store, which was about a month ago, and then again yesterday, and I cooked it today. And I've got to say, it just put me in this really, it changed my energy level. I don't know exactly what, how to explain it, but if anybody else out there is experiencing that as well and not really realizing the connection between that, then definitely look at some of that, because the quality of everything has gone down so bad that it's really getting to a point to where only the super rich can afford to eat meat, and the poor or middle class, which there's really no middle class anymore, have to eat all the garbage. Anyways, so yeah, keep an eye out for that. The organic stuff, even the organic stuff is tainted. It's really disturbing, the world that we live in, at least here in the United States. Oh, let me ask you this. Out in your neck of the woods, is the produce and the groceries as bad as it is over here?
I haven't been in the States for quite a few years, but I think, I don't think it's as bad as you have it, but still here it's no good either. The meat, it smells really weird, and when you fry it, and also some of the veggies, you know, they can last for a month and they still look super good. Or other fruit you get, it gets brown right away, you know, as soon as you've got a nectarine or something like that, within 5 minutes after you get it home, when it's not super cold anymore, it just goes brown, and it's in a sad state at the moment.
It really is. I've noticed that as well. I bought some oranges, and I had one in the very back of the refrigerator. I didn't even know it was there. And like 3 or 4 weeks later, I looked at it. It still looked good. I opened it up. It still looked good on the inside. I didn't eat it, of course, but it was just, it was shocking to see that it did stay good for that long, or the appearance of good. And I discarded it because I bought a couple of them, and the first one that I ate was just sour and just horrible. I remember when I went over to Greece 10 years ago, I ate the oranges there and they were so sweet, and I was going, oh wow, huge difference. And then now it's just gotten even worse. It's terrible.
Mm. Well, it is.
It is.
But if you track it down, it's the same kind of mentality behind, at the moment, this global elite. They're involved in so many different areas, if not all areas of life, and they're just cutting down on quality on so many different levels. And food is one of the things that they're trying to get us through.
Definitely. Hold right there. We're about to be back on GCN. All right. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, talking about problem reaction solution. What is it? For those of you that don't know, Ole is going to take us away on that. Please continue where we left off.
Okay, so if you do a military coup, like I said, you often have a lot of problems because there's so much to deal with. You almost need to have as many soldiers in the street as there are people in the population. And also you will have problems with reactions from other countries. You know, maybe they will do financial boycotts or stuff like that against your country. So that's not the way to do it, if you're clever, and these people are. So the way to do it is to secretly create a problem. For instance, if I'm the ruler of this country, whatever the country is, what I would do at this time of age, the two favorites, they're either explosives or mass shootings. These are the two. So if we take a bomb, for instance, what I would do is I would, if I'm the president of that country, whatever country that is, I would secretly create a problem. Problem, reaction, solution. This problem would be in the shape of a bomb. And I would place that bomb in a public place. It's very important that it's public, and it's also very important that it will hit women and children. These are the key factors, because what I'm after is to get a reaction from the population so that I can come with my solution. And what my solution is, for
well,
instance...
Well, you know what? Let me jump in for a second. A better analogy, in my opinion, would be a gun rather than a bomb, a shooting somewhere. So you would go and create a shooting situation somewhere because the end solution would be to take the guns away.
This is exactly it. It's like I said, there's bombs or there's mass shootings at the moment. The mass shootings, the reason why there are all these mass shootings, I'll tell you that as far as I can see, there's not one real one. They're all staged. Every single one I looked into them are staged. And the reason, just like you say, they want to create a problem. And what the problem in this case is that they want the guns to be the problem, not the crazy people. The guns should be the problem. And that is what they want, to get a reaction from the population saying, oh my God, something needs to be done. And then they turn towards me, and who do not know that I'm the one behind the arranging this mass shooting. And they will say, something needs to be done, something needs to be done. And then I would say, it's the guns that are the problem. So you have to hand over your guns, put them down, and let me take them. And then I can come with a solution. And the solution in this case, when it comes to the states especially, is that they will just take over your country brutally. They have a massive problem with the states, because you are the only people in the world who have an armed population. So this is why all these mass shootings occur in your country. It is to get your arms. And I'm not somebody who talks for pro-violence or pro-fighting back violently or with shooting power or anything like that. But if you give them up, they will just run over you.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And a lot of people wonder where that line is. Where's the line that we draw? Because we want to be as peaceful and nonviolent as possible. And I've drawn that line, and I think a lot of people agree with me. That line is when we have foreign troops on our soil attempting to take our guns. That is when we draw the line.
And you already have that.
I know. It's.
I think you got it. 380,000 UN troops in your country now. So you are in a. In it's come to a point in the world where there's no time to sit and pick your nose and change channel to watch another football game. This is it.
It really makes me sad. It really does.
It does me too. Very, very sad. At the same time, I'm super optimistic about the future, because there is an incredible awakening going on. But it's come to a point. It's like a race between the good and bad. It's almost like the two forces, the dark and the light forces, are really like speeding ahead, because it's just going super, totally crazy. And at the same time, there's this awakening going on.
No, you're absolutely right.
The agenda of this group is a very scary agenda. Very scary.
You're absolutely right. What makes me sad is when I really think about the situation. Okay, we know where the line in the sand is, and it will come to a point where we have to cross that line. We're not quite there yet, but it will come to that point. But then we also have to think about this from an individual perspective. You know, I'm talking to you, for instance. You're on the other side of the world. You're a quote-unquote a foreigner. And so, you know, when I have a UN troop in my face, then that's what I'm going to think about. Well, wait a minute. This is a kid that doesn't know any better. But, you know, when it comes down to it, it's either him or me. But, you know, everybody has to ask themselves, can they actually do that if it ever comes down to it? Because ultimately, we're talking about 20, 22-year-old kids that are over here doing exactly what their government is telling them to do.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the reason why they use foreign troops is if you look here in Europe, for instance, as far as I've been able to find out, the pilots of chemtrail planes here in Europe, I mean, they're just bombarding us with chemtrails, right, left and center. The sky is just covered with them. But these are, as far as I've been able to find out, not Spanish pilots here in Spain. They're not Swedish pilots in Sweden and so on. And I think they use... they use like Croatian pilots in Spain and Spanish pilots in England and English pilots, you know, like this, because to detach emotionally so that it's easier to control the people. I think that is also why they send in foreign troops in the States, because it's there's not the emotional attachment.
You know, you're absolutely right. And a lot of our soldiers won't fire upon their own population. And a lot of the police also have vowed to not fire upon their own population, although they have gotten rid of a lot of those police officers who stand for the Constitution, who are part of Oath Keepers, and they've replaced them with these people that they've purposefully trained. They've sent them over to Iraq. They've trained them that there is a gun behind every corner and somebody ready to kill you, and it could be a 5-year-old kid or an 80-year-old woman. It doesn't matter. And that you have to go into a village and take out that entire village, because if you don't, your people are going to get killed. And then that mentality sinks in. They never untrain those people. They send them back here. Then they become part of law enforcement. And that's why we have so much police violence right now, because most of these police that are causing this violence are vets of the Iraq war and Afghanistan. And they've come from a situation to where there is a legitimate threat around every single corner. But then again, they need to just realize that that threat that they were in the middle of is the exact same thing that we would be doing if we had foreign troops on our soil. I don't blame those people in Iraq one bit. I don't blame those people in Afghanistan one bit. I actually say good for them. They need to fight for their homes, because I would fight for my home in the exact same manner that they're fighting. And it doesn't matter if I'm fully armed or if I'm throwing rocks. I am going to resist.
The thing is that the soldiers, I think it's really sad when you think of soldiers abroad in countries like Afghanistan and Iraq and so on. What most soldiers do not understand is that they're being totally duped. They're being so taken behind the curtain, you know, not understanding what's going on, because they are in those countries because of greed. Banksters' greed, the global elites' massive greed, and it comes down to oil, drugs, prostitution, and weapons that are just going in different direction, in or out, wherever the country is. So this thing about going abroad and fighting for freedom and democracy, that's absolute bullshit. That is not why they're there. And countries like the States, or even neutral countries like Sweden is supplying soldiers as well, and Denmark and England, and they're all there totally illegally. These countries have done nothing. The only thing they've done is that they have these minerals, or they have oil, or they have diamonds, or they have drugs. Very often it's drugs as well in these countries, or they're in a strategic place where the planes can need to land and refill before they go to the next place to bomb the shit out of that country.
Hey, Ole, we're actually syndicated on this first hour, so please watch the language.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. And we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break. We'll be back on the other side. I know a lot of people from around the world. I communicate with people in India, Serbia, Croatia. I mean, the guy that helped me write Global Resistance, he did a lot of the music. He lives in Croatia. I've never met him, but I consider him a dear friend, and we worked on some great music together. I know people in Macedonia. They've helped us with research, and they've helped us with other things like that. And there's one common theme amongst all of these people, and that is that we all want to live free. Now, we have met some people from Egypt, for instance, who are devout Muslims, and we had one as a guest on the show because I wanted to get a Muslim perspective on things. And, some people may not want freedom as badly as other people, but the majority of people just want to live free, and that's it. And that's what we need to remember when we go and invade all these countries. Every single soldier needs to remember this. These people just want to be free. That's it. And if you threaten their freedom, they're going to react just like any other human being reacts. And they're going to react just as you, the soldier, is expected to react if somebody comes here and tries to take your freedom away. Any thoughts, Ole?
I totally agree with you.
It's a crazy world. You know, how are the people in Spain when you go out and you meet them? I mean, are they, you know, fun loving people? Do they go to the coffee shops, drive the little mopeds, and, you know, just enjoy life? Or are they plotting to kill the next country over?
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, the only country that are plotting to invade others are the States, more or less, you know, basically.
I know. It's insane, isn't it?
It really is.
If you look at the
global elite, how it's built up, you got the financial center in London, you got the war center in Washington, D.C., and you got the religious center in the Vatican. And these three are working together, depending on what they want to accomplish and where they want to accomplish it. Then it moves around between these three centers. But the war comes from the States, I would say, from Washington, D.C. That is where most of it is created.
It is. When I was in Greece back in 1999, no, it was the first last time I went to Greece before that, 95, 96, Turkey was going after Cyprus. And, you know, they've been fighting over Cyprus. Greece and Turkey have been fighting over Cyprus for forever, since the beginning of time. But Clinton sent a blockade over there. And everywhere you went, you saw Clinton go home, you know, spray painted on the walls, and people were very upset with Americans. And unfortunately, they gave us that broad paintbrush stroke, and because we were Americans, we were treated a little bit differently, even though I'm of Greek heritage and I speak Greek. And there was one situation where I walked into a hotel, and there was this little kid playing outside, and he goes running inside and speaks to his grandfather who ran the hotel. And I can understand in Greek him saying, "Here comes the bad people, here comes the bad people, here comes the bad people." I mean, you know, and it's disgusting. It really saddens me how our government has painted the American people. And as you said, it's mostly the U.S. that wants to go to war. It's the U.S. that's causing all these problems. But the people are getting categorized with all of this, even though it's just a bunch of people that just want to live free.
I totally agree. But it is, you know, like a bully in the schoolyard. The States is the bully in many, many areas in the world. I'm not pointing fingers. It's just the fact.
Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right. Anyways, we've got a few minutes left in the segment. We've got another hour after we leave GCN over on the Truth Frequency Radio Network, truthfrequencyradio.com, if you want to tune in, ladies and gentlemen. But tell us again about the book, where people can pick that up, and any new news.
No, it's www.lightonconspiracies.com. lightonconspiracies.com, and my book is called Coup d'etat in slow motion. That is coup d'etat in slow motion. And this is I'm trying to lift this to the next level, to get a very top quality documentary made, and where I can give a very, very clear picture of what has been going on for so many years, how it's all connected, how these major events like 9/11, Oklahoma City, the killing of JFK, Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, John Lennon, Che Guevara, all of these, that they're actually connected. I really mean very, very connected, even the same people being in the different places carrying them out. And so I would say this documentary could really be hopefully groundbreaking and help in this awakening that is going on, to make it more visible what has been going on and how we have been fooled massively. Because now is the time to wake up. This is an amazing time, I would say, to be alive, because it's very challenging. But at the same time, this is the time when everything will happen, when we will be able to lift this to the next level globally and turn this place into this beautiful place it's meant to be, and not this scary, horrible place that they try to accomplish.
It's a brave new world for sure, Ole. Let me ask you this. How can people support you?
Oh, I tell you, I would be extremely happy for all kind of support, donations or sponsorship. I have donation button on my website. And so all by buying my book and so on, because it's very hard to do research like this with no funds. And I've been doing it like for almost 30 years and been struggling financially all the time. So if anybody wants, I'm extremely happy for that. Also, if anyone has any contacts when it comes to film or documentary makers, or if they want to arrange talks and so on, I'm willing to do anything I can to go out then and spread whatever truth I can. And so I'm open to go anywhere and anytime. And also, if there's anyone out there that feel would be interested in acting as an agent or somebody who can help arrange talks or all of these things, I would be extremely grateful for that as well.
Very nice, very nice. You know, in the third hour, I want to get into more about the problem reaction solution and get into some more details about JFK and some of the other situations that you mention in your book. You talk about the sinking of the MS Estonia?
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, let's get into that for sure. And what are some of the other topics that you cover?
The other topics, it is mostly around, at the moment, it's very much around the false flag operation and how this whole thing is connected through what is called Operation 40, a team of professional assassins that was put together in the early 1960s under Dwight Eisenhower, President Dwight Eisenhower. He got Richard Nixon and George Bush to form this team of assassins to be used to take out Fidel Castro. But then when Kennedy became untrustworthy, they aimed the cannon at him. And so Operation 40 was very deeply involved in that. It consisted of people from the CIA and mostly exiled Cubans. And this hit team has, ever since that, popped up everywhere where there are these big events. They were the Watergate burglars. They were the ones that tracked down and killed Che Guevara in Bolivia. They were the core structure of the whole Iran-Contras thing. And also they were the guy that actually shot John Lennon, which had nothing to do with Mark Chapman. I can go into that as well. His real name was Jose Perdomo. He was the doorman at that night. He was also, for 10 years, he was one of the highest ranking officers in Operation 40, this highly skilled team of assassins. And also people that were in Dealey Plaza, 1963, were in Stockholm, 1986, helping to take out the Swedish prime minister and so on. It has carried on and on and on. And people like one of them, his name is Porter Goss, in Operation 40. He was later the chief of the CIA. And so these people have just moved up because they proved their loyalty to the cause for this elite. And they just moved up in the ranks. And they're right then, now, in the corridors of power. This is why it's so important, in my opinion, to look into these cases, not because somebody was shot in Dealey Plaza in 1963, but because the people that did it are still in power. They are the ones doing this to the rest of the world at this stage, so we need to expose it.
Absolutely. Ole, we really appreciate your time. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to pick it up at truthfrequencyradio.com, though, with another jam-packed hour with Ole. And kiss the one you love right now. You never know the last time it's going to be. And really, use your critical thinking when you're looking into these situations. And when you start applying critical thinking, you'll realize that the official story never makes sense.
Love you guys. See you next week.
I suppose the best way to understand it is to recognize that most of us are constantly thinking and stuck in the mind, but that's not the only way that we can experience consciousness.
If you do proper work, you will go directly into hyperspace,
which enable us to convey the understanding of the higher consciousness.
But our brains don't operate at this level.
This is something that goes back, you know, as far as you care to look.
the left brain has no point of reference.
The vibrational patterns of the natural environment we have on the planet is completely reflective of who and what we have been.
Because we were designed, of course, to function as a unit.
It's huge because you chose to come here.
It's all in timing, and it looks like right now it's time.
Broadcasting worldwide from an undisclosed location high up on the Rocky Mountains, this is Truth Frequency Radio. And now, here are your hosts, Chris and Cherie Geo.
All right, hour number three. Let's get into Operation 40 with Ole Damegard. I don't know. I asked him how to pronounce the name earlier. I hope I'm not chopping it up. I'm sure I am. I always step all over names for some reason. Cherie's more of the name person than I am. That's why I have her here, just so she can introduce the guest the right way.
I believe his name is Ole Damegard.
Damegard. Okay. Excellent. Operation 40 was a CIA-sponsored undercover operation in the early 1960s, which was active in the United States and the Caribbean, including Cuba, Central America, and Mexico. It was approved by President Dwight D. Eisenhower, and we've actually had his great-granddaughter on, Laura Eisenhower, in March of 1960, after the January 1959 Cuban Revolution, and was presided over by Vice President Richard Nixon. The group included Frank Sturgis. I hope I'm saying again. See, I told you I'm bad with names. So Ole, please don't feel bad because it's not anything personal. Who would later become one of the Watergate burglars? Felix Rodriguez, a CIA officer who was later involved in the capture and summary execution of Che Guevara, and many more. I mean, you know, this list just goes on and on and on. But Ole, I think you can pronounce. I mean, you can explain it better than I can. Please take us away.
No, like I said, it was Dwight E. Eisenhower gave his vice president Richard Nixon this task to put together this team of highly skilled assassins, and they were to start with. There were around 40 in this group. There was one female as well, and they had top CIA officers like Ted Shackley, like David Attlee Phillips, Howard Hughes, and so on, together with mostly exiled Cubans. They were former mercenaries, military people, police officers, security people, highly skilled, very disciplined, and trained to take out people in the States and internationally as well. So they were aimed at foreign leaders, presidents. They did hits on the people, the president in the Dominican Republic. They were all over the place. But then when after trying a couple of times to get Castro, then this problem occurred with Kennedy, and it was especially after the Bay of Pigs, the failed Bay of Pigs invasion, that these people, they were deeply involved in that, and they got very, very upset with Kennedy because they blamed him for the disaster because he, according to them, he did not give them the air support that they had been promised. So quite a few of them were taken as prisoners, and quite a few of them were killed as well. So they never forgave Kennedy for that. So in Dealey Plaza that day, when the shots were fired, there were several, quite a few of the shooters were from Operation 40. And if you want to, I can go into detail exactly where the different shooters were located and so on. But the same assassins were used again and again since I heard an interview with one of them, and he said, why change a winning team? They were doing good, so why change them? So they kept them, and they have been very, very active. And some of them are active to this very day by training new assassins and so on. They're in their early 80s, some of them late 70s and so on. But like one of them, he was a high CIA operative as well. His name was David Morales. He was in Dealey Plaza when Kennedy was shot. He was heavily involved in the planning of that. He was also at the Ambassador Hotel when Robert Kennedy was taken out. And he was also the guy that together with Felix Rodriguez, that you mentioned before, was given the task to track down Che Guevara, which was one of Fidel Castro's closest friends and associates. And they tracked him to Bolivia with some soldiers. They found him, they captured him, and David Morales was the one that actually killed him on the order of Felix Rodriguez. As far as I know, Felix Rodriguez is still to this day carrying Che Guevara's wristwatch. Also, like I said, one of them was José Perdomo. He was the guy who took out John Lennon that night. He was the doorman that worked extra that night only, standing to the left of Lennon and Yoko Ono when they walked into the Dakota building. And all shots fired at John Lennon came from the left. And, I mean, we're talking about coincidences before. How big are the chances of one of the most skilled assassins ever in the States being at that time when Lennon was shot and not being involved? I mean, it's up to you to make up your mind, but I think it's the proof are very heavy against him. Also, one thing that I think is really interesting as well is that one of the top CIA operatives, his name was David Atlee Phillips, he also went under the AKA Howard Benson. He was the controller the handler of Lee Harvey Oswald, the patsy that was blamed for killing JFK. But he was also the controller of one of the shooters. His name was James Files, and he was the guy behind the picket fence by the tree. He was the guy he's still alive to this day, and he's the one who claims to have fired the last final headshot. He was the controller of these, but he was also deeply involved in the overtake of Salvador Allende in Chile. And one of the other people that he was a controller of, his name was Michael Vernon Townley. And this Michael Vernon Townley is an assassin that has been working for many years and done so many different assassinations worldwide. He was part of the team in Stockholm taking out the Swedish Prime Minister, Olof Palme. He was also involved in the bombing. It was a car bomb of one of Salvador Allende's supporters. His name was Orlando Letier. I don't know if you remember in Washington, D.C., in Embassy Row.
Right.
They blew up this car. There was a woman in it as well. And the guy that James Files was one of the other people involved with that bombing. And also the bombs were supplied by a man that also was in Dealey Plaza and part of Operation 40. His name was Orlando Bosch. And this Orlando Bosch, I mean, in my book, I have page up and page down about things that he was convicted for. I mean, it's like in the hundreds of different bomb terror acts. He blew up passenger planes, killing several hundred people. They shot with bazookas at the UN building. And I mean, totally crazy things. And then in the end, he was put to prison, but pardoned by, guess who? George Herbert Walker Bush.
Of course.
And this George Herbert Walker Bush, he was, at that time, he was a low-level CIA operative working together with Richard Nixon. He was part of funding this group. He was the guy who got the funds from the oil tycoons in Texas, but also from the military-industrial complex and other big companies and so on, funding this group and funding these assassinations. This George Bush as well, he was actually, it's been proven now, more or less 100% sure that he was in the Daltex building when the shots were fired. The shooter, do you want me to just go in quickly to where the shooters were in Dealey Plaza? Would you like that?
Yes.
Okay.
We're having problems with both mics today. This is ridiculous. Please, yes, take us away.
Okay, so in Dealey Plaza, if you know how Dealey Plaza looks, it's a very strange place if you look at it from above. Very, very peculiar architecture with walls and the roads are going in a particular way. But anyway, there were shooters placed around the whole scene, because when they do these assassinations, especially on that level, there's one major thing that needs to succeed, and that is that that person they're aiming at must die. So they have always more than one shooter. That's almost standard procedure. Very often it's triangular fire, and in this case there were quite a few shooters. So I'm just going to quickly go through them. If we start at the so-called Daltex building, the shooter in that building was a man called Chucky Nicoletti from the Chicago mob. He was a hitman from the Chicago mafia. And the spotter in that building was a man by an exiled Cuban by the name of Nestor Izquierdo. He was the spotter in the Daltex building. And he was very closely connected to Operation 40. In the same building, you also had Johnny Rosselli, who was the contact between the CIA and the mob, the guy. He was later found chopped up in small little pieces and put in a barrel and put to sea. And also, when the shots were fired, George Herbert Walker Bush was in that building. And the room that the office that these shots were fired from was from a CIA covered operation in there. Then if we go into the school book depository on the sixth floor, the shooter in the window, the so-called sniper's nest, was a man called Eladio Del Valle, who was later murdered as well, an exiled Cuban who used to work for the Batista police in Cuba, but was now part of Operation 40. Then his spotter was a black exiled Cuban called Arminios Diaz Garcia. And in the left corner, if you stand in front of the building, in the left corner, the shooter in that window to the left, extreme left, his name was Richard Kane, and he was connected to the Chicago mob as well. Then you go down to the grassy area there, and there's one man standing next to a white Chevy, I think it is. Shooter. That man, I'm not sure about. There's different possibilities. Either it's Frank Sturgis, Roscoe White, or there's another option as well. Then if we move on to the left, there's the so-called badge man. It was a man in a Dallas police officer black uniform, as his name was Lucien Sarti. He was an assassin that they picked up and brought in from Marseille, the Corsican mafia in France. He was pulled in, and he was used on many different international assassinations. Then to the left of him, we come up on the grassy knoll by the tree. That's where James Files was standing doing the last headshot. And then you had shooters on different locations as well. On the other side of Dealey Plaza, one of them was as far as I've been able to find out, his name was Harry Weatherspoon. I'm not really sure. And then you had the so-called Umbrella Man. If you know him, there's been many discussions about who he was and why he was standing with an umbrella because it was a sunny day. It had been raining earlier that day, but it was sunny and clear blue sky. But what he did, some have had theories about that there was a poisonous arrow or dart gun hidden in this umbrella. But actually, his task was to mark the location where everybody should start shooting, because it wouldn't work if there were shots coming like right, left, and center, and maybe for 10 seconds there were just being shots fired all over the place. All the shots needed to be fired more or less at the same time, so that it could be blamed on one lone crazy guy, in this case, Lee Harvey Oswald. Then in front of this this umbrella man was a man called Philippe Vidal Santiago. He was also connected closely. He was part of a group called Interpen, but closely connected to Operation 40. Now, this Felipe Vidal Santiago, he kept working for the CIA for many, many years. And his task was to find new assassins on location, depending on where, what country this assassination was to take part in. And he had an alias called Charles Morgan. He was very active in Africa and other countries as well. And he, just the months coming up to the assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister in 1985, the fall of 1985, he was in Stockholm trying to track down and hire assassins in Stockholm. So you can see both him and Michael Van Townley are direct connections between the assassination in Dealey Plaza as well as in Stockholm later on. Then you have, there was a pilot that was very central in the Iran-Contra scandal. His name was Barry Seals. He was also part of Operation 40, and he was taken out just 1 week before the Swedish Prime Minister, because the Swedish Prime Minister was also involved in these illegal arms dealings going internationally. So there's so many different threads that holds the whole jigsaw together.
Let me ask you this, Ole, a question from a listener. Any thoughts on why Dealey Plaza is built so strange?
I can only say that one thing with many of these assassinations is that they are carried out in very specific locations. These locations has very often some kind of connection with Freemasonry rituals or symbolism or obelisks or the eternal flame or things like that. Why they do it like that, it is, I mean, many, I've heard many different theories about that. They do like ritual killings, and also with the numerology, the dates and the time when people are taken out. But I know for sure that one of the things that very often happen after one of these assassinations is that within a year, an obelisk, the symbol of the male energy, is erected within a very close, maybe 100 meters from where this assassination is taken out. It's almost like a business card, I would say, that the people who know what it's all about, they have this these secret sign languages with all these symbolisms and stuff like that. And there is an obelisk right where Kennedy was taken out as well.
Right, right. That seems to be a common theme. Let me ask you this. What are your thoughts on the Reagan attempted assassination?
That is a tricky one, because I think that differs from the other ones. I think that that one was carried out by George Bush personally, I mean his personal team, to get rid of Reagan so that he could come in a front position faster. Now he had to wait, because there was a lot of, it was almost like there was an internal struggle between Reagan and George Bush Sr. With the hostages in Iran and these things. So I'm not sure about that. It's a strange one, because it's always felt fake somehow with this John Hinckley. You know, also John Hinckley was a friend of, I think, Neil Bush, George Bush's son.
Right, his father was. I believe his father was good.
Sorry?
Friends. I believe his John Hinckley Jr.'s father was very much friends with the Bush family.
Yeah, but his son was the John Hinckley himself, as far as I know, was invited for dinner just a few days before by George Bush's son.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But all this whole thing, when you see that Reagan is said to have been shot and that the bullet went right through the opening, the crack, you know, where the door opens, it's just like, what are you, like 4 or 5 millimeters. And it said that the bullet passed right there and then hit him. I really don't know. I don't know if he really was hit or if it was... I don't know. I've always, there's a big question mark around that one in my world. I don't know about that one.
So let's, you know, on the last time, on the last broadcast that we had with you, we talked about the UK beheading, or the supposed UK beheading, which was, in my opinion, total false flag. But what was the problem reaction solution behind that situation?
I think that one was total diversion. You know, sometimes they need to divert the people's attention out to look in a different direction. You know, like Margaret Thatcher had loads of problems internally in the country, and there was almost like a revolution going on. What did she do? Go for the Falkland Islands. You know, look that away, look that away. And if you noticed, one with this beheading in London, it was just 1 week before the Bilderberg meeting in Watford, just the north of London, and that was the first time that they had to admit that there was actually going a big, you know, that there was only, my God, I can't speak anymore, that there was actually going to be a Bilderberg meeting. They've been denying it for so many years, and now they just couldn't keep it, keep a low profile anymore, so they actually invited their world press to come to the area. But so when the press was starting to focus on this group and say, my God, we need to go there. What is this? Because so many people don't know about it. Then, boom, this thing happened, which just totally drew away the attention from the public eye. And also then they started blaming it on the Muslims, and they started to get all of these riots going and so on. So people totally forgot about the Bilderberg meeting, and that's why I think what they did.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. There, I think there were also a few other agendas. They wanted to do the same thing that they're doing here in the United States with TSA over there, with the bus stops and the public transportation. And I mean, it just goes deep, deep, deep. But Sandy Hook, in my opinion, never even happened.
No, totally staged event. I mean, we're down to back to this. Crisisactor.org, everything staged. No one was killed. No one was, it was one big film stage, all of it.
That's disturbing. I mean, it really is disturbing. And you have to question everything that you see in the mainstream media. And you know what's funny is that when we come up with analysis or some kind of research on a situation, we get comments and people will say, well, you know, the mainstream media said this, and so that's fact. And even the very same people sometimes who look into the alternative research and the alternative news will start quoting the mainstream media as if it's Bible.
I know, but you have to look at the who's owning them. You go into the ownership and follow and see, you know, who's in control of that station, who's control of that station, and you will find you go back to the same elite again. And also, I know with like newspapers in Sweden, for instance, all the head editors, is that what you call them, the big boss in a newspaper, not the owner, but the guy owning it, all of them are part of the psychological defense of Sweden. That is part of their work task, you know. And this psychological defense of Sweden, their task is to point the attention of the population in a direction which is the best for the nation. This is what it says. But what does that mean? Many of these is sort of like divert the attention away from things that the population are not supposed to know about.
That is very true. You always find some kind of hidden agenda. Even during this whole government shutdown circus, behind the scenes, the Obama administration was making deals with Asian nations and corporations to basically hand over all our internet structure and infrastructure and everything else, power and fuel, and I mean, you name it. It's absurd. Everything that we've been fighting for, they just slipped right under the mat during this whole government shutdown fiasco.
I think it's so important to understand that these people we're talking about are super, super, super criminal. They are super criminal, and they do not want the best for us. It's the total opposite. And they're really, well, I can't say how criminal they are. And But we're talking about this problem reaction solution. And one of the things that I would really sort of put a big warning sign about, if I can interpret the situation, what is going on at the moment, you've got all these FEMA camps that are now activated and with staff and all of these things. And it's, even though it's horrible to say and scary to listen to, but these FEMA camps are actually modern concentration camps. This is that's the awful truth of it. You can look into them yourself. And the way I see it, what the agenda, what they're trying to accomplish is that you have 380,000 foreign troops that are trained for uprising to control population in difficult situations. Then you have these FEMA camps, which are with a one door. I mean, it's a rotating door, but it only opens, it goes one way. So once you get in there, if you're the wrong person, you won't get out. At least that's the way I see it. That's what I believe. And they've got all this food and water supplies and medical supplies that was transported there to be ready around the 1st of October. And what I believe is that...
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Bottom of the hour break. We'll pick it up on the other side. And it's really chilling. It really is. But as I've said before, the human spirit will prevail.
Exposing the hate and exploring the love.
It is becoming a prison here in the United States, and I don't mean that metaphorically. The TSA will now pre-screen your taxes, car registration, passport, employment history, and more. Travelers will now be subjected to even more evasive screening procedures by the infamous Transportation Security Administration before allowing people to travel. The TSA is performing unwarranted checks of a wide variety of personal documents, going further than ever before into the lives of innocent passengers. As expected, Americans will roll over for the new intrusions and accept that they are necessary to protect the homeland. The new pre-screening procedure is more exhaustive than a federal background check. The TSA will now be dramatically expanding their reach into the lives of every passenger and scouring all of the following documents, according to the New York Times: private employment information, vehicle registration, travel history, property ownership records, physical characteristics, tax identification numbers, past travel itineraries, law enforcement information, intelligence information, passport numbers, frequent flyer information, other identifiers linked to the DHS database. Ole said earlier that he's never met a terrorist before, or he's never seen a terrorist before. Well, according to some of the documents here that I've been flipping through in the past week, yeah, there is actually an entire list that makes every one of us a terrorist. There's actually 72 types of domestic terrorists, or potential terrorists, I should say. I'll run through the list really quick. Those who talk about individual liberties, those who advocate for states' rights, those that want to make the world a better place, the colonists who sought to free themselves from the British rule are terrorists. Those that are interested in defeating the communists, those that believe that the interests of one's own nation are separate from the interests of other nations or the common interest of all nations. Anyone that holds a political ideology that considers the state to be unnecessary, harmful, or undesirable. Anyone that possesses an intolerance towards other religions. Those that quote unquote, take action to fight against the exploitations of the environment and or animals. those who are anti-gay, those who are anti-immigration, those who are anti-Muslim, the Patriot Movement, opposition to equal rights for gays and lesbians, members of Family Research Council, members of the American Family Association, those that believe that Mexico, Canada, and the United States are secretly planning to merge into a European-like superstate that will be known as the North American Union. We're already there. I mean, you know, they just don't call it that, but we're already there. Members of the American Border Patrol and American Patrol. Members of the Federation of American Immigration Reform. Members of the Tennessee Freedom Coalition. Members of the Christian Action Network. Anyone that is opposed to the New World Order.
Wow.
Anyone that is engaged in conspiracy theorizing.
What? Thought crime?
Yes. Anyone that is opposed to Agenda 21. Anyone that is concerned about FEMA camps. Oh, Ole, he just talked about FEMA camps just a minute ago. Potential terrorists right there, ladies and gentlemen. Anyone that fears impending gun control or weapons confiscations. The militia movement. The sovereign citizen movement. Those that, quote-unquote, do not think that you should have to pay taxes. Like our very own, I can't believe his name just slipped my mind. Joseph Bannister. Right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. Anyone that is frustrated with mainstream ideologies. Anyone that visits extremist websites or blogs. Anyone that establishes websites or blogs to display extremist views. Anyone that attends rallies for extremist causes. Anyone that exhibits extreme religious intolerance. Anyone that is personally connected with a grievance. You hear that? Anyone that is personally connected with a grievance. If you file a grievance against any state or police department or court or any of that, you're a potential terrorist. Anyone that suddenly acquires weapons. Anyone that organizes protests inspired by extremist ideology. Militia or unorganized militia. General right-wing extremists. Citizens that have bumper stickers that are patriotic or anti-UN. Those that refer to an army of God. Those that are fiercely nationalistic as opposed to universal or international in origin. Those that are anti-global. Those that are suspicious of centralized federal authority. Those that are reverent of individual liberty. Those that believe in conspiracy theories. Because, as we all know, two or more people would never, ever engage in a crime, especially if they're part of the government or military-industrial complex. Those that have a belief that one's personal or national way of life is under attack, even though they're destroying the Constitution. Those that possess a belief in the need to be prepared for an attack, either by participating in paramilitary preparations or training for survivalism. So all you preppers out there, if you have a little bit of storable food, a little bit of gold, if you have a few guns, you're a potential terrorist. Those that would impose strict religious tenets or laws on society, fundamentalists, don't disagree with that one too much, but everybody has a right to their view and opinion. Those that would insert religion into a political sphere. Anyone that would seek to politicize religion. Those that have supported political movements of autonomy. Like our very own Nathan Frazier,
mm-hmm.
who hosts Live Free FM, coming up not after us, but right after Exposing Faux Capitalism. Jesus Christ, we are hitting almost all the marks here. And all these potential terrorists that we collude with here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com.
Collude.
And the biggest terrorist of all, Ole, who's not even in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Who writes these horrific things about the government and conspiracies. I bet he's anti-abortion, too. That's number 55 on the list. Anyone that is anti-Catholic, anyone that is anti-nuclear, right-wing extremists, returning veterans are potential terrorists. So when your kids leave, you need to know that if they come back in one piece, and that's if, that they are a potential terrorist at that point in time, and you need to report them to the state. Mm-hmm. Those concerned about illegal immigration, those that believe in the right to bear arms. Let me repeat that. Those that believe in the right to bear arms.
You believe in your rights? You're a terrorist.
Yes. Oh, we've got Nathan Frazier on Skype here. Let's add him to the call real quick.
Yeah,
how he's doing. And we'll get back to Ole here in just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Those concerned about, we already went through this, anyone that is engaged in ammunition stockpiling, anyone that exhibits fear of communist regimes, anti-abortion activists, those that are against illegal immigration, these are kind of repeating themselves here, but I guess they're repeating themselves for a point. They're all linked up to the documents that show all this on top of that. Those that talk about the New World Order in a derogatory manner. So you can talk about the New World Order because the New World Order is very real. But if you talk about it in a derogatory manner, then you're a potential domestic terrorist.
Let me mention this before I forget. In the New York Post, in a recent article, they were talking about the LAX shooter, and they said he had a New World Order. He had New World Order written on a piece of paper.
Oh, yes, yes, he did. Right. And I did, you know, we didn't even talk about this. But listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. They say that NWO is an
anti-government
group. The NWO, the New World Order, is an anti-government group.
Talk about trying to screw with people's heads, right? I mean, wow.
Oh, my God. And we'll just get to a few more here. We've had Ole waiting here a few minutes. Let me see. Those that have a negative view of the United Nations, like I was talking about in the last hour. Those that are opposed to collection of federal income taxes. Wow. Those that support former presidential candidates Ron Paul, who I've met in person, Chuck Baldwin, who we've had on the show, and Bob Barr, that I don't know too much about. Those that display the Gadsden flag and don't tread on me. Those that believe in end time prophecies and evangelical Christians. All of these people, ladies and gentlemen, are potential terrorists. And that pretty much encompasses everybody in the world because everybody falls into at least one of those categories. We have our favorite domestic, our potential terrorist on the line with us, Nathan Frazier. Of course, Ole's on the line with us as well. Nathan, how you doing, my friend?
I'm pretty good. How you doing, Chris?
Good, good, good. Just wanted to get your take on how it feels to be a potential terrorist.
Nothing new. I've been labeled that my entire life, so it's all good.
It's come to the point of ridiculousness, though. I mean, if you're anti-tax, if you're if you want to live autonomous, I mean, they use that term autonomy right there.
Yeah, I think one thing that might not have been mentioned yet, I've been listening for most of the show, but you guys were talking about how just recently how the LAX shooter had a piece of paper in his pocket that mentioned the New World Order. This is kind of a running theme. We saw the Sandy Hook scenario where the kid, his mom was a prepper and had anti-government views. And then we just saw the Boston bombing where the two kids were apparently involved with anti-government views. It seems like they're definitely hammering home anybody who questions authority is a terrorist. And that's an indication that a ruling elite is losing control of the minds of the people.
Let me take it a step further because we are echoing what Hitler was doing. And this is chilling. I just read a report that the statistics of people shot by police is 50% mentally ill people. That sounds like Hitler going after the mentally ill people.
Yeah, and go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say you mentioned Hitler, but if you take these rules, I mean, look at history. Stalin didn't even go to this extreme, and Mao, the same. I mean, they had loads of rules, but never at the level of this. It's absolutely unheard of, and if people don't wake up by listening to a list like that, I mean, you must be absolutely brain dead to not understand that this is going very, very, very in a very mad way. So I say time to wake up, people.
Well, let me ask you this, Ole. Do people even exist that don't fit at least one category out of this list?
I don't know. I think I tick most of the boxes, so
I do too, but I mean, they've pretty much just encompassed everybody here. I mean,
but I've heard also if you're missing a finger, I've heard that rule, and also if you got more food than for 7 days, you can be labeled a terrorist as well.
There are some states here that have tried to pass, or some of them have passed legislation where you can't have more than 7 days worth of food.
But listen, what is going on? It's absolute super madness. What is going on? And this is, if I can go back to the FEMA camps, because this is a scary bit, but I think very important to be aware of. Because I think with the FEMA camps, what they're going to try, if they haven't already started, they're going to do one of these problem reaction solution. They will start, I think they tried to, when they shut down the government, that they wanted to get public unrest, you know, people, riots in the street and so on. And, or some kind of disease going with chemtrails or something like, and then with the antidote in the FEMA camps saying, don't worry, no problem. You just come to the FEMA camps and we will have the solution here in the form of antibiotics or food or whatever. And that is the way for people to get people to go there themselves in the, you know, when the time has come. So I just want to say, please be aware of these places and do not go anywhere near them, whatever happens. At least that is what I would do. I would stay way away from that.
Number 25, anyone that is concerned about FEMA camps, it's none of your concern. That's what they're telling you. It's none of your concern. Don't pay attention. If you are concerned, then you're a threat. Nathan, let me ask you this. If I wanted to live my life as a sheep and a slave, what would I have to do?
If you wanted to?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to wrap my head around how anybody doesn't fit into this, how there's a single person that exists that doesn't fit into this list.
I think if you wanted to live your life as a sheep and a slave, you should probably avoid truth frequency radio at all costs.
Yep.
Don't even
search for it in Google.
Nothing. Just go to your job 80 hours a week, go home, no mm-hmm. internet, no nothing, and that's it.
Watch TV. Take your pills.
Go watch sports all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's very disheartening, but at the same time, media like this is quickly outpacing mainstream media. And whereas 10, 15 years ago, when these types of things would happen, Oklahoma City, when Oklahoma City bombing happened, it even fooled me. By 9/11, I wasn't fooled by this stuff anymore by the time 9/11 happened, but still 99% of the people were. Nowadays, when something goes off like this LAX thing or Sandy Hook or the Boston bombing, there's a large percent of the population that's no longer falling for it. And it's not just America, it's worldwide. So, I mean, these tricks that have worked for millennia, years upon years, they're losing their power, and it's up in the air as to how the parasite is going to react once the host starts trying to shrug it off. But the fact is the host is us, the people. We are starting to try and shrug off the parasite. So, I mean, there's a lot of concern that's legitimate, but at the same time, there's a lot of hope.
Well, let me ask you this, Nathan.
Please. Can I just say, I am super optimistic. I think this is a wonderful, wonderful time. And just like you say, with lists like that, I mean, they're shooting themselves in the foot because it's just so obvious. You have to be absolute brain dead and in a coma not to see that this is so, so sick, the whole mentality behind it. And they're freaking out, I would say. They're really trying to stress it out. You get it faster, faster, faster. It's getting more and more sloppy and more low budget, no planning. And they're just digging their own grave because we're not buying it anymore. And people are waking up by the millions. And I would also say that this power elite group, I mean, it's only a couple of thousand people and we are 9 billion or more. So it's an absolute joke that we're buying this.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Let me ask you this, Ole. What is the tax situation like over there in Spain? I'm sure you have some kind of revenue collection agency, but are they as overbearing and overreaching as the IRS is here?
I don't know. What I do know is that you don't have to pay tax in the States if you look at the law. There are no law that says that when you really look into it. But here it's getting more and more, it's getting worse, you know, all the time, because now Spain is part of the European Union, and the European Union is part of this group as well, like the UN troops, the NATO and the UN. And this is the more centralized the power is in Europe, the more freedom you lose on a daily basis. We start to see more and more police in the streets, and they look more and more like military people, you know, and sometimes with shotguns and bulletproof vests. And the situation is tightening up, I think, everywhere. But it's because it's all connected.
Wow. Nathan, let me ask you this. I don't know if you were listening when I was reading that TSA article, but they want to go through your income taxes and car registration and property ownership records and you name it. It feels to me anyways, after reading all this material, that it's getting to a point now that if we don't get out, then we're going to be trapped here. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, man, I contemplate the same thing. I have a cousin that actually lives in Mexico. And he used to ridicule me and call me crazy for thinking that America was on the quick path to totalitarianism. And then he moved to Mexico, and he says that the freedom that he enjoys in Mexico makes the ideal of freedom in America look almost laughable. And he keeps trying to get me to move down there with him. And over the last couple of months, I've actually been very seriously considering it. So, I mean, I hate to jump ship and just abandon without putting in the good fight, but it does seem like they're on the fast track to trying to close all avenues of escape. That's not to say that we can't put an end to their plans before they accomplish that, but we are definitely racing against a clock.
Yeah, I do feel that as well, and you're right. I contemplate that as well, because I feel that my role is to stay here and fight to the bitter end. And hopefully, you know, we can leave this ideology and these ideas to the next generation. And if we're victorious now, then they will remember what we've done, and they'll remember what we've taught them, and freedom will prevail, and tyranny will go down in history as something that really is an example to every generation of what we don't want to be like. But then again, I don't know. There's so many people out there that will read a list like this and go, oh, okay, well, I can't do this, or I can't express this, or I need to make sure that I'm in line with every single one of these ideas so I don't get labeled a potential terrorist and I don't have any problems. Because I've known so many people that just roll over at the first sight of any kind of problem at all, because they just don't want to get into confrontation.
Yeah, I think it's a mixed bag. You're going to have people that that will just go along with it, and then you're going to have people that stand up against it. But I do know that historically, right now, the idea of liberty is being ignited in more minds and almost at a viral speed, more so than ever throughout history. So it's a race against the clock, but we'll have to see. And I think the more feverishly that we work at spreading the ideas of liberty and pointing out the downfalls of tyranny, I think that the tide is going to shift, or if not, it's already shifting in our favor.
I hope you're right.
I can just say once again, I'm super optimistic. I am super optimistic about the future, because I've been doing this since the early 1980s. And I mean, for so many years, I was looked upon with someone with a tinfoil hat, and people were just like, oh, come on, can you please be quiet? But now there's such an interest for it. People are just, please tell me more, tell me more, tell me more. I want to know. People know, everybody knows that there's something totally wrong going on behind the scenes, and they're so open to understanding and to wake up. I think it's a beautiful time now, and this is what is freaking the elite out. That's why they're trying to take all these extreme measures, because they're losing grip.
Well, hopefully we'll have the same forces with us that we had when they tried to release Obamacare, and whether it was IT guys that purposefully what's the term that I'm looking for? I can't think of the term, but purposely sabotage. That's it. Yes, yes. Sabotaged it, or maybe it was some kind of energetic forces out there that are working on our behalf. Anyway, it goes. It seems like every time they try to make a move, something stops them. Like the war in Syria, for instance, that didn't happen. Everything was just halted. So hopefully we will prevail. Nathan, let me ask you this. What's coming up on Live Free FM?
I'm actually going to be talking about Obamacare tonight, and we're going to have Jake Shannon, the libertarian hypnotist, and we're going to talk about solutions to healthcare that don't involve handing over the system to the government.
He's a libertarian hypnotist?
Yes, and it's going to be a very, very interesting show. I've had him on before. We discussed MK Ultra and controlled killers and a bunch of other stuff, but tonight we're going to be focusing on voluntary solutions to the healthcare problems.
You know what? I've always wondered, because we have over 24 hosts here on Truth Frequency, and I listen to a few of the shows, but I listen to yours religiously. Now it makes sense. I've been hypnotized to do so.
Well, I do employ those methods.
There you go. There you go. Ole, anything you want to leave the audience with?
I just want to say I have this beautiful yoga teacher of mine, Yoga for the Mind, and she normally finishes her talks with a prayer that I think is super beautiful and that I truly stand for, and it goes like this: may the entire universe be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May everyone, and especially the ones who heard us, be filled with peace and joy, love and light. Victory to that light. And I think this is the way to go, to let go of fear. It's with they're controlling us with fear, with terror and fear that keeps our energy levels very, very low so they can control us. But the more we fill our hearts with gratitude and love and passion, these strong feelings, the beautiful feelings, the more we lift, you know, the more we help each other, the more we support each other, the more we lift and the harder it is for them to control us. And I sometimes on these interviews, I speak directly to the elite. I speak directly to police and soldiers as well, trying to make them wake up, but also to the elite, saying that the ship is going down. You know, the game is over. They have not understood it yet, but I know quite a few in the elite, I think, are very afraid, you know, because they know that, my God, when we find out what's been going on for decades, they're going to be chopped in and served as bolognese if the type of history they have been creating will continue. But I for one, don't believe in that as a solution at all. You know, revolution, listen to the word revolution, that just repeats what other people have been doing. And most revolutions turn out so that the ones taking over becomes even worse than the one before. Excellent. I think that The way forward is compassion and love and forgiveness, but truthfulness, transparency. These people need to come forward, and the sooner they leave this mad mindset and come forward, the more we can embrace them and move forward.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time, Ole. Nathan will be tuned in for sure. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Kiss the one you love right now. You never know when the last time is going to be. We'll see you every Friday, Saturday, Sunday right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network, 2 o'clock Pacific Time.
Love you guys. See you next week.
Show peace, unleash beef, no belief, peace. Underneath the beast, it lies dormant. Forced to use force, taught to use caution. Tossed to the ground with the subliminal blinded. Like KRS-One, because I'm criminal minded. I run with soldiers amongst the vultures. Now you're under control, because you do what they told you. The front lines now. We're living the battle.
For centuries, humans have been using substances to alter their state of mind, from caffeine, cigarettes, and alcohol, to more extreme drugs. But as the most commonly used illicit drug in North America, where does marijuana fit in, and how exactly does it affect your brain?
Is there anyone out there who still isn't clear about what doing drugs does? Okay, last time. This is drugs. This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs.
Hey, that sounds pretty good. That's him on drugs? Get him some more. Let's see what else he pumps out.
Any questions?
So, you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear? Well, you've come to the right place. You can support True Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take True Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN, worldwide.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing LifeStraw from MyPatriotSupply.com. LifeStraw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. LifeStraw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. LifeStraw.